Welcome back to the Blueville Podcast. Andrew and Derek are here today. We're going to, well, Derek is really going to talk about the whole design process. As a salesman, he's got a lot of experience with that. I have a little bit with it, but the way we approach things is slightly different. So we'll kind of hit both sides of that coin. In the maintenance division, a lot of the customers that I end up working with tend to be customers that I've worked with for years and years and years. So we've got a really tight relationship. And that's something that I can utilize when, you know, coming up with plants for a landscape project or something like that. Derek, on the other hand, I wouldn't say they're cold calls, but he deals with a lot of first-time customers.
Yep.
So we don't always have a relationship, don't always quite understand the history of the property. So I'm going to turn it over to Derek, and he's going to start with that. What happens when he gets a note or gets a phone call or an email, and how that process works.
And Andrew, I'll try not to go too long on this podcast. Design and landscape design in particular is a real passion of mine, and so we can really get into the weeds, but we do attack this scenario from multiple angles. You mentioned your experience in the maintenance side of things, and we, in the landscape design side, we are very maintenance focused, but that's from the beginning of the process. So whether it's a blank slate for a new homeowner, or you move into a new home, or you have an established landscape that just needs to be freshened up, we can tackle all of those scenarios. I'm going to talk real quick about my background, just since we're new to this podcast and kind of introducing ourselves too. I'll tell you how I got started, just in case somebody out there has never thought about landscape design as a career path. In high school, I really wanted to be an architect. I really liked the design aspect. I like fancy buildings, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. But then we had to take, we didn't have to take, but we got to pre-calc. We could knock out some of our college credits in high school, and pre-calculus just really was not my cup of tea. And so I shut it down there. That was about halfway through my senior year. That math class was just not working out for me. And about that same time, we got to come do some job shadowing and that sort of thing. And as part of that, I got on K-State's campus and talked to some of the horticulture professors. Basically, I was tipped off by a former Valley Heights alumni, and he said, I'm doing landscape design. You can still do all the drawing and the design aspect of it, but you don't have to take all the tough math classes.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I said, sign me up. But we did want to take a college visit, so we did that, and I talked to Dr. Greg Davis there on campus at the horticulture department, and he said, yeah, that's true. Here's what you get to do. You get to analyze the site. You get to do some measurements, just the simple math, use geometry and that sort of thing, but not too in-depth. You're going to be more plant-focused. And so that sounded great. And so sign me up. That's what I did. So I went to K-State for horticulture degree with an emphasis in design, and then was fortunate enough while I was out here at Blueville Nursery mowing for Jade, who is Andrew's boss.
Yeah.
At the time, he was in charge of the mowing division. And he said, no, you want to mow, you want to mow, you want to mow. I said, no, I really want to work on design. But of course, I wasn't ready. But there was a position as part of our design staff. We usually have a college student on hand to help draft plans. So that means a design sales person would go out to a site and sketch everything up. They'd take the dimensions of the property, of the house, driveways, anything existing that we need to look at, sketch it out on a piece of paper to scale, hand it over to the draftsperson, and they would either hand draft it, or now we're using computer design CAD programs, and put it on the software and make it a little fancier, then we can finish the design process.
Sure.
So I said, hey, I'd love to do that. I kind of auditioned with that and was able to do that a little bit through college, which was a great deal, because now that I'm part of the actual design staff, I already know the tendencies of Dan and Pete and Tim, and now myself, I can add that to it and kind of know how the company is structured and how to handle different scenarios. There's always new problems and things that we face. So that was kind of the path to what got me here today. And like Andrew said, a lot of times I'm dealing with, I'd say maybe half to 60% are new customers, new customer call-ins that have never had a landscape project before, and they just need some professional help. And there's multiple scenarios that might lead to this. One of them would be, maybe I have, you know, let's say I'm a homeowner, just purchased a home. I have no interest in landscaping, but I know I need it for the value of my home. The HOA dictates that I need some plants in my yard. So where do I start? Well, a call to your landscape company, Blueville Nursery, would love to help you out with that, because we know what those HOAs generally require. We know the plants that are going to be successful, like Andrew alluded to. In that scenario, me as the homeowner, I'm not really interested in all the maintenance aspects of it. I want it to be generally well taken care of and do the part, but I'm kind of hands off. I've got other things and we're all busy. And so that's a totally legitimate scenario. So kind of, I know I need it, but I'm not real interested in it. Where do I go? So we can definitely help you out there. Then the next case might be, I really like it, but I need some direction. Maybe I'm even going to do it myself. I just need a plan. I need a starting point. But I really like getting my hands dirty. I do like the occasional maintenance, going out and doing spring cleanup and that sort of thing. So we can definitely help you out there too and kind of give you a further direction. And then the third scenario might be, I have a complete plan in my mind, even almost down to the plants. I've had experience with multiple plants. I'm really into this. I just would like a plan on paper, and it's going to be a big enough project that I want help installing it too. But I want to be really involved. So all of those scenarios really play out in what we do, and we are more than happy to help with any of them. And the really cool thing is that, like, in the case of somebody that's really interested in it, over the years, you get to see plans built, and you get to see how your landscape has evolved. That helps from the maintenance aspect of it, but then you can have that kind of record of what your yard has been over the years. So we're really happy to help with any of that. So I guess we could start with maybe just a kind of a plain cold call. Hey, I'm interested in getting some design help for the yard. We've got a newer house. It's got minimal landscaping that was done when the house was built, but we're now the second owner and we wanted to kind of make it our own. What do we do? So what we'd initially do is just find a good time to set up with you where we can walk the yard and really get your input. And once that appointment is set up, then we do that. We just walk the yard. We like to have a notebook or something that we can take our notes with and just walk the yard. And basically we're just listening to what you're telling us, all the while looking at what we're really concerned with, because there's certain things that a site will tell us that it needs that it might not be in a homeowner's mind. And also that down the road, maintenance, the landscape maintenance folks might make their lives a lot easier. So we're kind of looking at that while we're listening to you. So we'll walk around the yard. Maybe you have some trees that you would like on your tree planting list. Maybe you need a patio installed because you're finding yourselves outside in the evenings in the summer enjoying the space, but you need a larger space to entertain. Maybe there's going to be a playground for the kids set up at some point, and where's the good location for that? There's some grade changes, and so we need to navigate that, whether it's just simple soil grading or maybe even some retaining walls need to be incorporated. So we're just listening to your input and noting that down. And once we're done walking around the yard, then we'll take a little extra time and finish measuring out the different elements of the yard. This has really gotten easier over the last few years that even that I've been doing it, because there's so much with technology that you can do quicker than when I learned. It used to be that you would have to use a tape measure and measure out every little inch of the property. And now we can just simply hop on a GIS website and get the property dimensions, usually get a general house or building dimensions. And so we can bring that with us. And that, now all we're doing is tweaking it. So we're adding maybe sidewalks or other elements that weren't on that general plan. We're measuring those out. And we all have our cell phone in our pocket. I like to go around and just snap pictures of the entire property, as many as I can. The cool thing about that is you hop in the pickup, it automatically loads to the cloud, and by the time you get back to the shop, you have all that information already at your desk. So now you really get to have fun and start the process.
Yeah, technology, even since I've started, has really made our jobs a lot more efficient. That GIS website that we use is from the county, and they've got pictures, aerial pictures, that are usually no more than 2 years old. And so it comes in really handy to get square footage and that kind of thing.
And surprise, we probably already have an idea of what we're going to sell to you by the time we get to your front door, because we've already done that. We've already looked at the GIS website. We've also gotten on Google Maps and looked at Street View. Yeah. So we already have an idea of how we would tackle your property. Now all we need is your personal inputs, and then we can put all that together.
Yeah.
So once we get that back to our desk, then we get to really have fun with it. And so some of this we just is just the mundane task of putting that plot, that property plot, into the computer, and of course adding the house and those ground plane dimensions and that sort of thing that we're going to play around with. And then we really get to start the design process. And so back to the old K-State classroom days, they'd teach you to put down bubble diagrams of areas of use. Basically, you want to divide your property into areas of use, whether that's lawn, garden beds, patios. So you're doing the generally the same thing, only on a computer, but you're kind of dividing it out and making sure that you have all of the things that the client wants accounted for. So whether you're just labeling things or you're putting objects out in space just to have a placeholder, and then you'll gradually kind of mold all of that together and come up with the final plan. So some of the things that we're looking at, just as general rules, I always start with this because everybody has their own unique wants and needs, but then we also have to incorporate that into some things that are design elements or that will actually create the aesthetics of the property. And some of those common things are that we want to draw attention to your front door or entry point. So we can do that with plant material and bed lines. We also want to draw maybe color and interesting features. Let's say if you have a patio or a pool area and you want guests to focus on that. So we want to bring in some design elements to pull you around that. And we can do that in multiple different ways. Again, whether we're using paths or bed lines or even plant material throughout. So some of those things are what I consider at first. So again, I'm putting in kind of placeholders for things that I want to see in this plan that will ultimately build into the final product. And one of the things that I try to do, like, we learn all the plants and we can get kind of caught up in that, and we want the right plant in the right place. But in reality, there's probably a half a dozen different plants that you could put in any one of these spots. And so initially, I don't get too caught up in that. I put circles. I want a 6-foot shrub on the corner of the house. There's a 6-foot circle. So I kind of do that. I look at it spatially and what we're going to do. And then after that, I revisit it. And okay, I have a row of 6 shrubs here. Now I go back to my notes. I go back to usually a map because I want to look at north, south, east, west, all the directions. And then I'll look at my pictures as well. So are there mature shade trees there that are going to cast a lot of shade in that area? What are the elements of the environment that are going to dictate what plant goes in that spot? And so that'll narrow it down. Let's just say there were 6 plants on the board for that shape and size. Well, now the sun exposure has cut it down into 3 because we have a heavily shaded area. Okay, then now what texture do I want to look at? What maybe even the soil, what does the soil offer? Is it a really heavy, tight clay soil? Is it loose and well-drained? That might even determine it. Mm-hmm. And all the way down to, do I want it to be a woody shrub or do I want it to be more of a perennial flowering type plant? Do I want it to have flowers? Do I want it to be all a foliage interest? So you start narrowing it down from that. So kind of to summarize all of that jumble, if you're doing this from home, don't get caught up necessarily right away in the specific plants. That's hard to do when you go to the garden store, when you're going, oh man, I just want a couple of these. I want a couple of these. There's a way to do that too. But if you're kind of starting from the ground up, get your space kind of defined and then placeholders for your plants. And then even if your mind isn't made up at that stage, take that plan. And sometimes I even do this. I'll be like, I've got this pretty well filled out. I'm going to run up to the garden store and see what's looking really good. That'll be my decision maker today. Yeah. So I can even do that. But if you're working on it on your own, you could just have simple placeholders, and then you can walk a garden center and label in what you want there. One of the things that we run into from a design standpoint, especially for the plant's sake, a lot of newer homes, I pick on this a lot, but a lot of newer homes are built with inadequate bed space around their home.
I totally agree. Landscaping is the last thing in the budget for a builder.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah, it often does. So you'll commonly see it where you have maybe a 2 or 3 foot bed on the corner of the house and it narrows down to 1 foot and you run that around the foundation and there's plants kind of in there. Some of them are, you know, burning bush that are way going to outgrow their space, junipers that are going to get into the foundation and just outgrow their space. So one of the things that I like to do and recommend is even just minimal space. You need 3 foot off of the foundation. That's even for ornamental grasses, your small spireas, drift roses, almost anything, you're going to need about 3 foot of space. That's just minimal. And then go out from that. Five is better because then down the road, if those plants grow a little bit bigger than the label said they would, you still have space. And then even further down the road, if your interests change and you want to put in bigger shrubs, you still have that room. So I would start at minimum at 3 foot. And this is what I do even on the drawing phase. I'll go in and I'll set a boundary line 3 foot out from the foundation of your house all the way around. That's my starting point. And then I vary from that and make it bigger. Usually on the corners, it swoops out so you can put some larger, more interesting shrubs or even small ornamental trees there. And then it can drift back and forth, kind of depending on whatever theme you want your garden to be. But that's kind of a, in my mind, a hard rule. Start with that 3 foot of bed space.
Yeah, and that even if it's with 3 feet, keep in mind your eaves are 18 inches.
Correct.
So that's hanging over and covering up half your landscape bed. That's not going to get the same amount of water as the outside 18 inches. So yeah, start with 3 feet. I tend to shoot for that 5 to 6, honestly.
And that would be even better. Something else to note on that as well is that plants don't need to be equidistant from the edging of your landscape bed to the foundation. You can pull those out forward a little bit. And this is more for the guys that have to maintain your house, that have to come paint your siding or do anything like that. Well, even the guys that have to come blow leaves out of your landscape beds, you can pull those plants out away from your foundation, because from the street, if you have even a 2 or 3 foot gap behind a mature shrub, you're not going to see that from the street. And it's going to help so much in cleaning that landscape bed out. If you have anything that you've got to get back there and clean, windows that you need cleaned occasionally, the ladders are going to go back in there. So you can even pull that forward. And that's what you're talking about, Andrew, even more space beyond that 3 foot. So let's just say we're using a 3 foot spirea, something that gets about 3 foot wide, like a magic carpet. And we're going to put that in a landscape bed. So if we accommodate that 3 foot mature width of the plant, plus, let's just say 2 foot behind it to give us a little space to work in there, you're already at 5 foot.
Right.
So that just kind of illustrates what we're thinking about when we're saying give these landscape beds a little more room. Now, let's transition to what that's going to do for our overall project. When we start enlarging things, that gets into a budget issue. And we're very budget conscious. If you give us a number up front, we'll respect that and we'll work with that. Sometimes we don't. And it's often that we don't have a budget number to work off of. And we kind of have a ballpark in our brain, just kind of dictated by what we see. But we're going to also take some creative license there and show you what your property and what your needs really need there. Obviously, if you're making your beds even wider, that's going to cost a little bit more money, but in the long run, it's probably going to be handier for you. And maybe you can adjust some other things on the project that will help out with that. Let's say, for instance, we're working on an entire, we call it a foundation planting, where we have a landscape bed all the way around a house, and it's a brand new build, so it's a blank slate. We're going to put the emphasis and the budget more on the front of the house, which everybody can see from the street, and let's say the back of the house where the entertainment area is. There's a deck and patio commonly in the back of a house. So those are our two areas of interest. We're going to put our focus and our budget on those. Well, then we can kind of suck that in on the sides of the house. And usually there's less room between houses anyway. So that's something that we can make up. So if we're not interested in necessarily having plant material on the sides of our house, which we don't spend a lot of time on anyway, we can just do a simple mow strip, which is, like you said, the eaves hang over about 18 inches. That's common to maybe have a flowing line about 18 inches away from the foundation. And so then we can use that space where we didn't put planting beds on the side. We can use that for the front and the back to make it a little more appealing and kind of make up the difference. So those are all things that we're putting through our brains when we're doing your landscape design and considerations that we are making when we're coming up with a plan for you.
Yeah, and kind of in that same, he talked about the flowing lines. We're in Kansas. We're on the prairie. There are no right angles in nature out here. You know, you see some of these French gardens or whatever, or everything is straight, straight, straight. Boxwoods are boxes, you know, square angles, everything. There are two reasons we like to have flowing lines. First off, it looks a lot more natural. And then second, it is impossible to install edging in a perfectly straight line.
Yeah, that's true too. And it is fun. Of course, it's a great challenge for us to try to maybe incorporate multiple design themes. And there's ways to do it. But in general, yeah, we have nice flowing kind of natural lines, because that's what you mentioned, like the Flint Hills and nature around us. That's kind of what it gives us. And the ultimate goal of any landscape design goes back to making the architecture of the home or the building feel like it's in its place.
Yeah.
And it's kind of blending in. So, and that's evolved more, like you said, a French garden. Then we got, you know, they got carried away. They found out they can manipulate plants to do anything they wanted to do. And you kind of start showing off in that regard. So now we're like, oh, you know, we can tailor it to what we want. But, you know, ultimately we want that house to feel like it's been there for a while and kind of blend into the surround. So that's another goal of what we can do with our design.
Yeah. And then just to kind of cap things off, when you see your plan and you like the way it looks, we come in, we install everything. You're going to look at your plan, you're going to look outside, and you're going to say, where are all my plants?
Right.
These plants are tiny.
Yep.
It's because we design for mature sizes.
Right.
We don't want to have to be coming in 2 years ripping plants out because they outgrew their space.
Yep.
So, yeah, when you first look out, you might think these plants are tiny. There's so much space in these beds. That's intentional.
Yeah, it really is. And there's ways that we combat that too. So from the get-go, we understand that maybe on the corners of our house, or like we call them focal point plants, some of the special ones that we really want to draw attention to, we'll size those up. You know, so normally just across the board, we'll start with a 15 to 18 inch shrub. That's kind of the minimal size that we'd carry at the nursery. And that's talking about the current size of the top of the plant.
Yes.
So that's an immature plant. And we'll let it fill out to maturity. So if we're doing a mass of, we have been talking about spirea a lot, but a mass of spirea, maybe as a border, we'll use all the smaller plants. Well, now maybe we want a dwarf lilac on the corner. We can size that up to like an 18 to 24 inch, mm-hmm. and then back down. And so kind of repeating that thought process around the entire installation. But you're correct. One of the ones that you can kind of get is like ornamental grasses. They can grow quite large and spread, you know, 3 to 5 feet in spread, but you're starting out with a gallon-sized pot. Well, they grow really rapidly. So that's actually a really wise decision on a budget standpoint. We understand which plants will grow and fill out in a season's time, and conversely, which ones might take a little bit longer. We can start with a larger plant with ones that are slower growing.
Yeah.
And so we'll kind of consider that as well, so that you have kind of the most bang for your buck. And we want to make that full effect come to you, let's say, 3 years down the road. We want it to look nice and full then. So we don't really want to skimp on plants. We'd rather start with the appropriate quantity, spaced out appropriately, mm-hmm. so that in 3 to 5 years, it's all nice and full, looking like it should. And that's the product that we sold you.
Yeah. And then just to close things out here, we live in Manhattan, Kansas. People move to Manhattan from all over the country, or even all over the world. Fort Riley, the military base nearby, brings people here. Kansas State University brings people here. InBAF now is going to be bringing people here. Say someone comes here from further south or further north, and they ask for a certain type of plant, and you know that that plant will not do well here. How do you kind of let them down easy or shift things to where you can install plants that will work in this area?
Yeah, so first of all, I try to get a good understanding of what plant they're talking about to see if there is something similar maybe in that genus or even a species. Sometimes there's different varieties that we can tap into and bring them pretty close. But then after I understand what they're fully talking about, then I'll think about, okay, what plant do we have success with that offers some of the similar characteristics? Are they looking for a white puffball flower? That comes from hydrangeas. A lot of times people are asking for hydrangeas. Well, they do perform here, but in a much different way.
Yes.
So that's something that, so once I understand what attribute they're looking at, is there something comparable that we can offer? Maybe not exactly, but then I can say, okay, well, what look are you really going after? Are you going for, you know, kind of a more woodland garden look? Maybe we have something that would be comparable in that regard. And then after that, I'm thinking about, okay, well, what was the limiting factor? Is it our temperature? Is it our cold? Is it our soil type? And a lot of times it's a combination of all those things. We are in a very difficult spot here in Kansas because we're in that kind of transition zone. We're not quite south. We're not quite north. We're not quite east. We're not quite west. We're right, you know, in the middle of the plains, and we get a little bit of all of that. So some plants perform really well early in the season. Some perform better towards the tail end of the season, you know, when things transition in the fall, you know, so everything's a little bit different. But that's the main thing I try to get is what attributes are they looking for, and see if we can replicate that either in plant material or just kind of a general look or theme. And then we just kind of are upfront with them and say, well, for these reasons, that won't work here. You know, maybe it'll be, look fine in the morning, but as soon as the sun, you know, comes and hits that full on in the afternoon, it's going to wilt and you're not going to be happy with it. So we just kind of describe what their expectations of that plant would be, and here's an alternative.
Well, thank you, Derek. And just to wrap up, when it comes to designing a landscape bed for a lot of the customers that I work with, I've had a long relationship with a lot of them. So sometimes they're fine with me just saying, hey, let's put X, Y, or Z plants here in this corner. And they say, yeah, go for it. If they do need a plan, yeah, I'll quick sketch something up, give it to our drafter and say, hey, can you make this pretty?
Yep.
And they punch it all in and get a plant list together and everything. So my process is a little more laid back than Derek. But if I do need to get into those more details with a really spruced up plan, anybody here at Blueville can get you one of those. So
yep.
We customize to each customer.
Exactly.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us today, and we will see you next time.